Sure. Mary Shellman. I'm with the Agribusiness Program at Harvard Business School.
The thing you get all the time, Mary, the fact that Harvard has an agribusiness school, when people ask you about that, I don't even know which question would be the right one to begin that conversation, so I'll let you take the lead on it.
So it's not really a school. So let's get the boundaries right. So we describe it as an agribusiness program, but that's even maybe a bigger gesture than it is. What we do is we have a very long history in the space, and the particular thing that we're known for is an executive education seminar for industry leaders, and that's been going on since 1961. And the real interesting piece about it is that the very word agribusiness was actually coined by my colleague Ray Goldberg, who's a professor at the Harvard Business School. He wrote a book in 1957 called The Concept of Agribusiness. And it's so basically we can claim the field. And the great thing about the agribusiness seminar is, like all Harvard Business School courses and classes, it is case-based. So there are no lectures, there's no textbooks, and every session is a real-life case study. So when we bring together this group of executives every year in January, lovely time to be in Boston, 200 people, all parts of the world, all parts of the supply chain, big companies, little companies, some producers in the room sometimes. And we do case studies, and they're not like to think about marketing or strategies, really thinking about trends. And so my role is to think a lot about what those cases are that we should be writing, and we'll write cases on big companies like Nestle and like Cargill and Bunge, or input companies like Monsanto and Syngenta. And we'll also write a case like on Lufa Farms, which is a greenhouse on the top of a roof in Montreal. And so we'll cover all parts of that, and in talking about those, we'll try to bring together and paint this view of the supply chain and how those works, and more importantly, how it's changing.
What's been unique about this year, then, and the trends that you're seeing in agribusiness?
Well, clearly, this is a very volatile year, so we had, you know, had such a run-up on commodity prices, which made everybody very happy, except maybe the animal guys who weren't so happy, but, you know, speaking with my farmer hat on, you know, that was a good time to be in farming. I think now it's clear that this volatility that we've been talking about, risk management, is a very important job. It's always been a very important part of managing leading agribusiness companies. But clearly that's back to the future. I think there's going to be some interesting shakeouts. A lot of money has come into the space. And so we'll see how well those new investors are prepared to ride out what are going to be some very interesting cycles.
Technology has really changed agriculture, and you hear big data thrown around. Has the program addressed that very much as far as whose information it is and some privacy things? I mean, there's a lot to it.
Well, interesting that you asked that. I'm actually right in the middle of writing a case study that's in that space, looking at a particular company that's made a very significant acquisition, but there's lots of different issues out there, ideas, you know, alternate approaches to it. I think the interesting thing is, you know, what does it mean down at the farm level? What kind of information is actually something that a producer can use and make a different set of decisions on? I think if value is created there, then it's pretty easy to get that cooperation, right, if there's something in it. However, I think that without that clear vision of what's in it for me, then maybe it's a little, you know, this is mine and why should you take it? I think U.S. farmers in particular are particularly proud of what they have, and that's, you know, the idea of it sharing, though, is that we all get better. And so I think it's going to be a good time. I think there's going to be some very significant pieces that come out of this, but perhaps like crops such as, you know, Roundup Ready soybeans, when they were first introduced, you know, they went into the marketplace and they didn't really perform. You know, the comments were is that, wow, look at this, there's actually a yield drag. But the farmers kept buying them. And, you know, I think about when my dad was raising soybeans, they were so hard. Soybeans were the most difficult crop to grow, and now it's like I describe them as soybeans for dummies, right? Because you can do anything, and it's so easy to raise a great crop of soybeans. So, you know, that, I think I think that's the kind of changes that we're going to see that are coming up, and it's going to be hard to put a value on that, but they're going to be significant.
I had a meeting with a commodity group recently, and they talked about their strategic vision going forward, and it's really about reaching the consumer and trying to portray agriculture in a more positive light. At Harvard, in the program that you oversee, do you delve into that at all?
Well, it's been a big concern, and I must admit, even in we have one MBA course in agribusiness, and it's interesting to see now who takes that course. And there's a bigger demand for it, but the group that takes it is very different than it was in the past. And you'll have some that are still, core understand what, maybe the vision of agriculture that I grew up with, maybe you grew up with, that this is, commercial farming. And, then stuff gets turned into stuff and it shows up on supermarket shelves. And that's a good thing because that means that, if you're someone in the house, you don't have to spend days and days in the kitchen preparing that. And today we find that the students are very interested in these, maybe more back to the basics approaches, less processed. They like local. They like organic. I think this time about getting the story out, the question is what's the right story? And is there just one story? I've always thought that, one of the big drivers is that food is so important, whether it's to health or whether it's your culture. I mean, you encounter it, every day, every single day. Three times this grazing thing now, 10 times a day, however much you're eating. But people want to know that that's actually somebody cared with the system. And so I think that's the most important thing about the story is to getting that face on it and to make sure that it's a personal system. But I also think that there's also a lot of interesting demands in the marketplace right now and a lot of misunderstanding that is nobody's really found the right way to address that yet.
Mary, let's talk about the Women in Agriculture Summit, which you're involved in. First, explain your role in preparing for this.
So in Women in Agribusiness, I serve on the advisory board, and I had the great pleasure actually of co-chairing the very first Women in Ag program, which was 4 years ago. It was in New Orleans. And it's such an interesting time to reflect back on that. The organizers today called me up and said, Mary, we're thinking about doing this program. I said, wow, how many people do you expect? And they're like, we have no idea. We have no idea. We just think we'll build something. It was a day, basically. And that people that were coming to, the Grain and Oilseeds Conference might come a day early and be part of this. And I thought, well, maybe there'll be, 75 or 80 people there. That would be fantastic, 75 or 80 women. And it turned out there were like 150, and the energy in the room was just so significant. So I've had the good fortune of being on the advisory council here for the last 4 years. And it's become more complex to think about what does this growing number of women actually, what's relevant for them? What can they take away that's will be different and will be inspiring and will help them make, a different set of choices, better set of choices about their careers.
Well, when you were talking about what does the consumer want and information about the food that they consume, there are so many different facets to that. And then you talk about agriculture and the countless facets to agriculture. So then you try to zero in on the women in agribusiness aspect of it. And I would imagine that's a moving target all the time.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And we started out, I think we had, basically plenary sessions. And then the next year we started out, it's the breakouts. And this year there's a lot more breakouts because it's, how do you serve both sides of it? And the other thing, too, is, one of the exciting things is we have a lot of people here. I think about 60% are here for the first time. The companies stay involved and they're pushing it out. We have younger women that are here. But also it's important to keep the senior women leaders coming back. So you need to have something that appeals to all of those groups. And of course, your need is very different depending on where you are around that. So hopefully by offering this set of choices, there's something for everyone.
How would you assess the first day?
Oh, I think it's been fantastic. I just, Serena Lynn from Cargill just spoke, and I must say that was one of the most amazing talks that I've heard. She shared her personal story, but she did so in a way that actually made me stop and think and, you know, left the room thinking, this is the exercise I'm going to do tonight. This is something I'm going to take back. And the other, I think, even more exciting thing about it is that Serena Lynn as a leader, it's just, she's, you know, having women like that are the future of this industry. So seeing her come up and many others we're in this stage now, I think, that we're going to see, you know, some really exciting things happen.
Well, I really appreciated her comments on being a leader and stepping away from that problem-solving role that she had previously, because that was not her role as a leader. And I think man, woman, child, anybody could learn from that.
Right. And I think the thing that she said that struck me is that how she had, you know, these very strong competencies. So how do you go into a new organization and a new position? She first of all, you know, that if you lean into those competencies because that's what you're comfortable with, but it's also the way that you build trust and, you know, you can have some wins out there, right? But then that you need to move away from that and move into this area that I think is much more difficult for women than it is for men. Step outside your comfort zone. Take on things that you don't. But I think what Serena did was to give some examples about how you can do that in a way and study it and actually learn and be very thoughtful about it, instead of feeling that you're just like in the deep end without having swimming lessons. And the other thing that I think that was very important is she talked about the importance of inside the organization she moved to, of them setting her up for success. And that's the second piece of it, is that it's not just the leader, it's the people around them that need them to succeed, because you've made this, you know, really important hire, you know, probably very expensive hire. So it's in their interest too, you know, not just to stand back and say, well, we'll see how she does, right?
Another thing that surprised me as she was sharing her story, she didn't have much of an agricultural background, and she mentioned the statistic that only 2% of our population is directly involved or farms. And I'm sure there are women in the audience listening to that thinking that, well, I didn't come from the farm. You did. We talked about that before this conversation, that you were raised on a farm in Kentucky. But there are more and more people coming into the workforce that aren't coming from the farm but need to have some kind of understanding of agriculture if they're going to work in agribusiness.
Right. And, you know, so now living in the Boston area, you know, that's so clear to me how far removed it is, and the conversations that, you know, I have with my neighbors who have no understanding, you know, very limited understanding. Even my husband, I remember when he tried to grow a garden when we were first married, and he thought he could grow like one row of corn and we would have corn all summer long. Right. You know, so that naivety, but it's, you know, so you do need to understand, but I think, again, coming back to Serena's point, she talked about, you know, someone that's really, you know, very smart and very hardworking and very agile. You can learn about the industry. You can learn about the technical pieces. It's, so the core is still there. So coming in sometimes with the outside, without that deeply entrenched point of view that we've always done it this way, is an advantage.
And I guess my final observation would be that I go back to that conversation with the commodity group and trying to reach consumers, and they are encouraging their member growers to use social media to be a part of a conversation with these consumers to explain how production agriculture works. And for these people going into the agribusiness workforce, there are tools available everywhere. You can Google it if you want to. I mean, you can learn about agriculture if you really want to.
That's very true. I think the best way, you know, social media is good for that. And I've heard, you know, other groups, you know, in this engagement, and by the way, what do you do, you know, when all the time you have now when you're sitting out there in the field, right, because your tractor, your combine drives itself, so you need to be something to do with your time. But, and I think it's a great way to actually make that connection. But I think the even better way is for all of agriculture to continue to open our doors and just to invite people out. Yeah, it takes a lot of time. Yeah, it's hard work. But if you really want to have somebody understand what it is you do, there's no better way for them to see it than to say, come out. So whether it's, you know, field days and, you know, special visits, group tours, it's, you know, that's the way that message gets across. Because if you actually see what it's like every day to be there and be making those decisions, and that the families are involved as well, I think that's the real impact. And so social media kind of provides a snippet of that, But it's not, it's just a snippet, right? It's just a snippet.
Mary, anything else about the program at Harvard or about the summit?
Well, I think it's just exciting to see so many women here from, you know, more senior in their careers to some that are just getting started. I think as that growing interest in the space and the growing presence in this field of agriculture and agribusiness reflects what we see at our agribusiness seminar at Harvard Business School, that it used to be that we'd have a handful of women out of 200, and they typically were very quiet. And within the last 2 years in particular, we've seen a much larger presence. And not only are they there, but they're very eager participants. And, you know, taking that seat at the table, which is, you know, so really, again, I think that's a very exciting time.
Well, I'd say the group here in Minneapolis is anything but quiet.
I think that might be true.
Mary, thanks for the time.
Sure, absolutely, Mark.